Down, and Tola is going to come and read from the scriptures now. Today is a day in the church calendar when the church remembers Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and we hear the account of Stephen's death from Luke's account in the book of Acts now.
The reading from today is taken from the book of Acts chapter 7, beginning from verse 51, reading up to verse 60. The book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 51 to 60. You stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tola. Let me pray for us as we look at that together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would help us to see, as Stephen did, the Lord Jesus and his position and authority, that we may have the same faith that Stephen had and the same attitude to his enemies that Stephen had. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As just mentioned, today is the day in the church's year when the church remembers Stephen. And you might know a Christmas or winter song that features Stephen. Do you know the song, Good King Wenceslas? Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. Well, it tells a story of how Good King Wenceslas saw a peasant out in the winter trying to gather fuel. And he asked his page boy to come and help him to bring food and drink and fuel to help this poor peasant have what he needs for the winter. But as the carol goes on, the night gets darker, the wind gets colder, and the page boy just can't go on anymore. And so Good King Wenceslas says, watch where I step and tread in my footsteps, and you will be able to keep on going. And that's exactly what the page boy does. He steps in his master's steps, he follows in the steps of the king, and he finds miraculously new strength to keep on going. We've unwrapped our presents, we've perhaps thrown away the wrapping paper, we're enjoying our presents. But now the time has come to think more than just about the baby born in Bethlehem, whom we celebrated yesterday. It's time to think about how we're going to respond to him. And in particular, how much, how far we are prepared to follow him. Is there a limit to how far you are prepared to follow Jesus? Would you go as far as to lose friends over it? To have arguments with your friends about following Jesus? Would you go so far as to disagree with your teachers? Would you go so far as even to break the law? Would you go so far as to lose your life? Maybe you're watching this and you're not even convinced that Jesus is someone worth doing that for. Well, let's see what it is that motivates Stephen from Luke's account in the scriptures. And let's just remind ourselves of who Stephen is. We're introduced to him in Acts chapter 7. And there's a problem in the church. The church was looking after those who didn't have anyone else to look after them, the widows. But some of them weren't getting their food. Some were getting their food and others weren't. And so the apostles, those who had seen Jesus' death and resurrection and had been commissioned to preach him, were brought in to try and sort out this problem. And they came up with the idea of setting apart people who would take care of those practical jobs of looking after the poor so that they could concentrate on the task God had given them of preaching God's word and praying. And Stephen was one of those people who was chosen. And the result of this, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, is the word of God spreads, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increases rapidly. And it's just worth noting at this point that when people exercise their gifts, that enables those who are responsible for preaching God's word to concentrate on that task. That means that those who are responsible for giving their lives over to praying can get on with their task. And so maybe now is a good time to think about what gifts you might have that you can use and volunteer in the service of the church to enable those who are set apart for speaking God's word to concentrate on that. And in the words of the apostles, not to neglect the ministry of the word. And the result of that is that the word of God will increase. More people will become disciples. It's not that some jobs are more important than others, but God has given us different gifts. And together, that will build up the church. So Stephen is one of those who has been set apart for these practical tasks. And yet it seems as though he also was a good speaker, a good evangelist, someone who preached the good news about Jesus. And opposition arose to him. And this opposition takes three forms. And opposition can often take three forms. One is logic. They try and reason with him. Maybe they try and argue with him that Jesus isn't the Son of God. He isn't the King God promised to send to save us. Then the next strategy, if it's not logic, is lies. They persuade people to say, we've heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. That's chapter 6, verse 11. They spread lies about Stephen to get him into trouble so that people won't believe him. And if logic and lies don't work, they try the law. So in chapter 6, verse 12, they stir up people, the elders and the teachers of the law. They seize Stephen and they bring him before the Sanhedrin. And that's the ruling council of the Jewish people. And so here is Stephen now speaking before the ruling council of the Jewish people. And the particular charge that is brought against Stephen is there in chapter 6, verse 14. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and the customs Moses has handed down to us. So they're concerned about the temple, but they're also concerned about the customs that have been handed down to them. Not just God's law, but the customs that have been handed down from generation to generation. And often when those customs are challenged, when change is introduced to things that people have held dear from one generation to another, that's when opposition arises, as it did to Stephen. And so what Stephen does is he takes them through the history of God's people from the scriptures and shows them a right view of God's place and a right view of God's law, and he shows them how they've broken God's law. And then we come to our passage this morning. And we're going to think first of all about what Stephen saw. What Stephen saw. So Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit and he looks up to heaven. He sees the glory of God and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And we're now in chapter 7 and verse 55, if you're following in the church Bibles, page 1100. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And in the book of Daniel, we see a figure who is brought into the presence of God and he's given authority over people of every language and nation. He's given complete authority. And that is who Stephen sees. Jesus died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and now he is the ruler over everything. He has all authority. So look at Jesus' position, first of all. He is at the right hand of God. It's the position of power and authority. He's exercising God's rule in his world. But look at his posture. He's standing. He's there, ready to welcome Stephen, to receive Stephen. That is what Stephen sees. Now remember at this point, the Sanhedrin, verse 54, they are furious. They gnash their teeth at him. So Stephen is standing in front of the rulers, and they're angry with him. But now he's seen Jesus at the right hand of God standing. And so now we think about what Stephen said. We've seen what Stephen saw. Now we'll think about what Stephen said. First, we see forth-telling. Forth-telling. Stephen simply tells people what he sees. Chapter 7, verse 56. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So he is telling these people who are angry with him, who have authority over him, that Jesus is in charge. He has power and authority. He has the confidence to do that, knowing that that is the power and authority that Jesus has. And when Stephen does this, he is following in the steps of Jesus. When we see the status of Jesus, we can follow in the steps of Jesus. And so when Jesus was on trial in Luke, and chapter 22, verse 69, he says to the council of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, but from now on the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. So Jesus stands in front of authority, people who hate him, and he says what they're going to see, what's going to happen. He's going to be at the right hand of God, and now Stephen says what has happened. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He is following in the steps of Jesus. And so that means for us, as we want to tell others about Jesus, we should remember that he is in complete control and has complete authority. He's there wanting to welcome us. And so that should make us bold to tell other people that he has power and authority, and that people should accept him as their king and bow before them. It also means that we should stand up for Jesus and his teaching, maybe when people disagree with it, our friends or people in authority. It should give us boldness. That's the first part of what Stephen said. We see forth-telling. Secondly, we see faith. We see faith. So in response to what Stephen has done, people are so angry, they cover their ears, they don't want to hear any more. They shout at the top of their voices, they drown out any other sound, and they rush at Stephen. By the way, have we got some pictures to go with this? So there is Stephen, and he's looking up at the right hand of God, and he's telling the Sanhedrin what he sees. If you have the next slide. There we are. They rush at him, they drag him out of the city, and they begin to stone him. So they want to put Stephen to death by throwing stones at him. And what does Stephen do as they're doing this? Well, you can see in the picture, and it's there in verse 59. Stephen prays, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen knows that when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus died to take upon himself the punishment for all the wrong that he had said and thought and done. And that when he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he is now standing at God's right hand, that proved that Jesus paid the price for his sin. And so he can pray to Jesus, receive my spirit. He can have faith. And again, that's following in the steps of Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross. This is what he said. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's effectively the same as, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Seeing Jesus' status means that Stephen can follow in his steps. Seeing that Jesus is at the right hand of God, standing there waiting to welcome him, means that Stephen can trust him. And that means we can trust God when we suffer, particularly if we suffer for being a Christian and people say unkind things about us, even suffering other things when we face sickness and death. We can know that Jesus is there waiting to receive us. We can trust in him and know that he will receive us to be with him. In our church family, we support people who are serving God overseas. One of them is a man called Ishaya, and he serves God in northern Nigeria. And in northern Nigeria, Christians are persecuted, Christians are killed for their faith, Christians are kidnapped. But Ishaya continues to trust in God despite all that's going on around him. He has that same faith that Stephen has. So we're seeing what Stephen said. We see forthtelling, we see faith. And then thirdly, we see forgiveness. So Stephen comes to the end of his life, he falls onto his knees, and we see the last thing that he says, verse 60. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And can we have the next picture, please? We've got Stephen, there he is. So his last words, his last prayer, after people have tried to stone him to death, or as he's being stoned to death, Father, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Stephen knows that he has been received by Jesus, and so he wants Jesus to receive those who are stoning him. He knows that he doesn't deserve it, but he's been forgiven, and so he wants to forgive those who are hurting him. And again, he's following in the steps of Jesus as he does that. As Jesus is being crucified, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And again, let me tell you more about Ishaya. Earlier this year, something terrible happened. His brother-in-law was murdered. And yet we receive prayer updates from Ishaya from time to time. And do you know what he asked for prayer for? He asked for prayer for the groups that were responsible for murdering his brother-in-law and other Christians. He shows us what it looks like to live this out in practice, to pray for those who hurt you. And so that means that we should forgive those who hurt us, who perhaps hurt us because we're Christians. And it means we can be free from being bitter against them and holding hatred in our hearts towards them. If we know that we've been forgiven, if we know that Jesus receives us as a free gift, we can pray for God to receive others. When we see the status of Jesus, we will be able to walk in the steps of Jesus. And just like good King Wenceslas, who walked through the snow, and as the darkness and the cold of winter surrounded them, and the page boy was able to walk in his footsteps and complete that journey. So as we walk through times of darkness and the cold of being persecuted as being Christians, we can see the status of Jesus. He is at the right hand of the Father, standing, waiting to welcome us. And we can walk in his steps, and we can complete that journey. When we see what Stephen saw, Jesus at the right hand of God, we can say what Stephen said. We can foretell, we can speak of Jesus as King. We can have faith. We can entrust our spirits to him. We can be forgiving. And just think what a difference that will make if we go out into the world, not hating people, but forgiving them. If we are examples of confident faith to those who don't know Jesus. You'll notice that Saul is there watching all this going on. And very soon after, Jesus appears to Saul and he's converted. And later in Acts, when he gives his testimony, he mentions Stephen. And clearly Stephen's death had an impact on him. And who knows? Well, God knows what impact our faith will have on those who see the way that we live for Jesus. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the example we have in Stephen of someone who saw the status of Jesus at your right hand in heaven, and who therefore was not afraid to walk in his steps. And we pray that we would have that same vision of who Jesus is, and that we would walk the same way. Help us to speak of Jesus, to entrust ourselves to him, and to forgive others. We thank you that the baby born in Bethlehem is now enthroned as the ruler of the world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.